In an interview with Fox Business, forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden explains what an anthropologist will be looking for.
The post-mortem examination will take into account the bones and any soft tissues that are still present.
Now an expert must determine if the death was homicide, suicide, accident, or natural. USF forensic anthropologist Dr. Aaron Kimberly says every bone will be closely examined.
They got Nancy Grace addressing Gabby fans. Dog is on the case, he's out there kicking cans. Alligator takes a shit and they say it's Brian Laundry. Never any justice on the evening news. Gotta give me something, something I can use. Battle to the death, Jake Paul versus Brian Laundry. Tripping over bodies to find the one we can sell. Fully booked ad breaks pave our road to hell. Those bones to the side, let's go find that Brian Laundry.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. It's spooky month.
Butter and banana sandwich while you're taking a shit.
This thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Good evening.
The phone number to contact the show, everyone, is 636-487-HAN or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, there's a lot going on that we need to discuss.
It's true.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to Dr. Travis. Dr. Richard A. Williams. He's going to be on the program.
Starting to list off Santa's reindeer.
You know Dotcher and Doncher and Prancher and Vixen. Hey, Travis, there was a debate. Now, this whole Dave Chappelle thing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Dave Chappelle.
Of course, all
the protest stuff, they were saying that Netflix needs to give them money to make their stuff. That's what they're protesting. They're saying all the money you paid Dave Chappelle, you could have given us some of that money.
Given us.
Give us the money. What are you doing? But the internet has been debating about whether you can make jokes without someone being the butt of the joke. And someone said, and this has been plaguing me all week, Travis, because somebody replied to me, and they've won this argument because it's wrecked me. They said,
yeah, they've definitely won. they get in your craw and make you think about something all week. They did their job.
They said that in the chicken crossing the road joke, there's no but to that joke. It's just a joke. And I said that they are wrong, and that obviously if someone tells you that joke, like, you are the butt of the joke because you are so stupid that you don't know that obviously the chicken is crossing the road to get to the other side. Like, the butt is you.
Yeah, essentially, at that point, it's essentially like you're telling somebody a riddle and saying, hey, figure this out. And when they don't figure it out, you make them feel stupid for not knowing the obvious answer.
But I said, yeah, no, they're saying that you are a fool for not knowing the simplest of answers, which is, of course, he's crossing the road because he wants to be on the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm. And their rebuttal?
This is the reply, Travis. It's interesting to me that your interpretation is that the audience is being made to feel dumb. I don't agree with you, but it's interesting. I'm also not saying you're wrong, since you know how you feel about things, just that we feel differently about it. Travis, that was their reply, and it's got that's me all like up in my head, Travis.
That's like a gut punch and an uppercut all at one time.
What they're saying is the way I look at things is interesting, Travis. They're not going so far as to say I'm wrong, because maybe I'm not wrong. You know, no one can tell how I feel but me. But what they're saying is the way that I feel is kind of implying that it's unusual. You know what I'm saying?
I do like the fact, though, that it wasn't immediately, I have no rebuttal, so I'm going to start calling you names. I do like when people can have a civil conversation and say, your point of view is interesting. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's interesting. Like, I feel like...
But that's worse!
The world... I don't think so. I feel like it's a better world that we would live in if we can take people's opinions and say, oh, I don't agree with you, but I can maybe see where you're coming from.
But do they see the where I'm coming like, from is I'm a weirdo. And like they're going to study it because like I'm crazy for thinking that people are making fun of me.
Put
for not knowing where the chicken's going.
Don't you know about the chickens?
Chickens going to the other side, stupid. That's where the chicken's going, you idiot.
I feel like having a conversation like that and then not having it just devolve into name calling or you know, the like is much more productive than shouting from your rooftop and anybody who disagrees with you is, you know, a fool.
Travis, I came up with a premise for a bit. And I was in Dub Fod Studios here. Working on it. And when we present things to the listener, I think that like we can get away with being dorks because they understand that like we're making things to be dorks to entertain them. That's fair to say, right?
I would agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
So I came to something with the premise of, I'll just give you the premise. The premise was, what if the Halloween Michael Myers song had lyrics? That was the premise I went with. I didn't know where I was going with it, but I was in the room here making it, and I was tickled to death. I was having so much fun in here by myself, Travis. And
that's excellent.
I looked over. And my wife, who works from home, came up the stairs and was standing in the doorway watching me.
Like in the middle of it? Like you had wrapped it up?
I had my headphones on. I was just tickled to death in here, having a good time singing along to the Halloween lyrics. Really stupid lyrics. I mean, I could give you a
Michael Myers is going to kill you.
It's stupid.
I love it.
But I think that, like, if you hear the final product, you might say, oh, okay, Mike's having a laugh. Mike's goofing around.
Yeah.
But, like, to actually see me, I was so embarrassed, Travis. The look on her face, like, I would have preferred, like, she caught me masturbating.
Well, isn't it kind of the same? Like, it's like being caught with your pants down when you think you're by yourself. having a good old time. They can't hear what you're hearing. They just hear you laughing and giggling and
being a silly goose by himself.
Goof. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like anytime you walk in on somebody having a joyous, goofy time, it's, you know, what's your reaction really going to be? But, oh, man, I don't understand what you're doing.
I bet. But, I look like a big dork.
It's like being caught with your pants down.
No, that was the whole premise, Travis, is, hey, what if the Halloween song had lyrics to it?
Hey, sometimes the most clever and successful bits are so simple.
Do they really work? Like, does this bit work?
Michael Myers is going to kill you. You can set him on fire. That will just make him madder. You cannot delay the inevitable. He is going to stab you. Run as fast as you go. And it does not really matter. He's going to fucking kill you. Because he's Michael Myers and he's going to kill you. Look out behind the bush. The shape is going to stab you. He's Michael fucking Myers. Get ready for your killing. He's going to stab your fucking face. Then eat all your fucking yogurt. Michael fucking Myers coming to his childhood home. And then he's going to kill you.
And okay, you might have got a laugh out of it, Travis, but imagine you're married to the person who decided this was a good idea to do on a Monday afternoon while you're downstairs working for a living.
And here your grown-ass spouse pushing 40 years old.
I'm almost 40. Sit upstairs. And by the way, what I tried to do originally is like sing it like, you know, to the piano, and you can't. It's too fast.
Oh, it's too fast.
It's way too fast, Travis.
Yeah, you have to do the undercurrent. Absolutely. Yeah, it's too fast. Even all of the rap men that have used the Halloween theme to rap over the top of, you can't rap the piano part.
Oh, did I already steal somebody's bit? Putting lyrics to the Halloween song?
They've used it. It's just, you've heard that Ludacris song where he uses the Austin Powers theme as the backdrop?
Oh, yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, there are multiple Halloween backdrops in rap songs. It's usually when a rap man wants to get vicious and talk about beheading people or killing all the other ends, like real viciously.
And
like,
you can do that because it's within the premise of you're Michael Myers in this.
Right. Yep. That's the thing. It's like they're when they really want to get vicious and they really want to quell the haters. They use the Halloween theme and get like super, you know, barky at it. It's actually very effective. I do like your lyrics.
There's a new ghost song that plays over the end credits of Halloween Kills. And I think that he's singing as though he's Michael Myers, cause he's talking about, you know, it's a hunter's moon and he's going to go out and get people and stuff.
Isn't that an old ghost song?
No, it's new.
Oh, so they're always talking about Hunter's Moon.
Maybe.
I feel like he's said Hunter's Moon in many a song.
Well, it sounds, you know, kind of spooky.
Have you heard earlier Ghost? Like, I actually, because I like Ghost. I like their newer stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm not familiar with the discography of this band. I would really like to kind of delve into some of their earlier works. Their earlier stuff sounds nothing like their current music.
Yeah, no, I they were more kind of gothy.
And yeah, it was weird, because they're still kind of gothy, but it's almost like a performance.
It's kind of tongue in cheek now, though.
Yeah, like we're singing over Monster Mash kind of thing. You know, it's like we're ghouls and goblins. But yeah, it was like a weird gothy with different synth songs. Yeah, it's funny. Their trajectory completely changed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fun. It's all fun.
Yeah, I love it. It's all good times.
Do you think that he ever feels the way that I felt, though? Like, you know, when he's putting on like his ghost man makeup and like his wife peers around the corner and says, "You're dressing up like a pope. Like, just play the guitar. Why are you doing all this stuff? You look silly." I mean, like when you go out on stage and like people are like, "Oh, it's the guy from Ghost. He dresses up like a whole thing." But like when you're backstage and you like, think about when you're in Kiss And I mean, how old are the guys in Kiss now? In their 60s, probably.
Yeah, close pushing to 70, 70? Probably.
And like, they got to go put on their space boots. And they're like halfway into doing it. Don't you think there's probably days where you're like, why did I do all of this? Why wasn't I just a regular music person?
I don't know that that would, for a band as large as the Kiss, I assume that when they were flown in on their private helicopters, their jewel gold encrusted helicopters, they probably really don't think about it. They're like, it's, make some more money for the coffers. Gene Simmons is real greedy and a real dick. So I think that he really doesn't care what it takes to pad his wallet.
You don't think that there's ever a day that he just goes, man, why wasn't I Pearl Jam? Why wasn't my whole thing just wearing flannel shirts?
There's not a Pearl Jam army.
Oh, I'm sure there is, Travis.
Yeah, but not with like official membership cards. Kiss Army had a whole thing going on. Is there a Pearl Jam pinball machine? Because I've never seen one.
I'm glad that Spooky Month is all over because it's too hot to be wearing these masks all the time.
Yeah, that's. I tried to wear the mask the first episode, and I was like, I can't do this.
We don't commit to bits, Travis. We're bad bit committers.
Well, we've been an audio medium for so long to try to incorporate video aspects of the show is just it's a learning curve for us. And we don't realize that masks, when you're talking for an entire hour, get really steamy.
Yeah, it doesn't translate well either. Like when people listen to the podcast that they've been listening to all this time, they're like, is Travis wearing a mask?
What's over his face?
Why is he doing that? It sounds dumb. But then we're like, guys, and we're YouTube people now. We're doing our YouTube thing.
Yeah, we're YouTube / Twitch people first now and podcast people second.
Guys, I'm looking forward to talking to Dr. Richard Williams. Gonna ask him if cans are gross.
Of course.
We have to ask him that because I imagine he knows. I imagine that somebody probably called him at some point and said, hey, can you look into whether or not cans are gross?
We'll get a definitive answer after the break.
I hope so. I hope he doesn't just blow me off as being a big goof like this Twitter person, the Fates Four. Maybe he'll just say, it's interesting that you think that, and leave it at that, and then it'll just like bother me for a really long time. Yeah. Is that normal? To be bothered by things like this? If you got this tweet, what would you think? Would you just blow it off or would it bother you for days?
Oh, I immediately would forget about it.
But are you normal? Like, which one of us is normal?
Well, I feel like it's easy to get sucked into giving a shit about what somebody tweets at you. And I also think it's very easy to not give a shit what happens on that godforsaken website. So it's just like, what easy do you want to do? Do you want to do the thing that sticks with you for a long time? Or do you want to do the thing that as soon as you press the back button, you completely forget about?
A woman is suing Kellogg's for not putting enough strawberries in their strawberry Pop-Tarts. Elizabeth Russet was shocked to find that the Pop-Tart is not in fact packed with strawberries, but is packed with all sorts of ingredients that I can't really pronounce, but also other fruit. Mm-hmm. Not just strawberries, there are other fruits involved.
I actually did not know that.
It has a bunch of pears and stuff in it, Travis, Pop-Tarts, and the lady's suing for $5 million, saying that strawberry Pop-Tarts should have more strawberries in it.
I like that guy chiming in at the very end with, I didn't know that.
I guess the expectation is it doesn't have anything, any kind of fruit in it. But it does have some fruit in it. It's just not strawberries.
Yeah, I was going to assume that it's just like a paste made from all artificial flavors.
A strawberry-flavored mush.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not even like jam or anything. It's just like it's a strawberry paste that doesn't have to be refrigerated. What are you expecting?
Trevor, a counter argument, though. Shouldn't strawberry Pop-Tarts have strawberry in them?
I mean, I guess they should, but I bet you if you look at the box, it says probably strawberry flavored Pop-Tarts and not like Pop-Tarts with strawberries in it.
You know, I personally feel like at this point, I don't believe any of this stuff because I watched that documentary about the lady that spilled the coffee in her lap. And so now every time one of these comes up, I said, good, sue them.
What's the difference?
If it's frivolous, they'll throw it out. If not, maybe Kellogg's will pay the lady. Who cares?
Right. Well, if Subway's tuna is really tuna, then those people look like idiots. If Subway's tuna turns out to not be so much tuna, then Subway dishes out a check.
Right. But when all of these lawsuits come up and everybody's like, oh, this stupid lady, she's suing Pop-Tarts. Hey, good. Maybe they'll change a word on their box to say strawberry flavoring, in which case they should. It's more honest.
If it doesn't already straight up say strawberry, artificially strawberry flavored Pop-Tart somewhere, then yeah, you should probably brand that better.
I guess what I'm saying is quit being such a snarky dickhead about stuff. When Alec Baldwin shoots somebody, don't send stuff to Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin probably feels terrible.
Yeah. Can you imagine how bad, regardless of what you feel about Alec Baldwin, can you imagine as a human being how terribly that has to feel that you took somebody's mother and wife away from them on accident?
Right.
Like, that's not, we shouldn't be making T-shirts making jokes about Alec Baldwin accidentally killing somebody completely innocent that has nothing to do with your agenda.
And Travis, by the way,
human person.
Make jokes about Alec Baldwin if you want to make jokes about Alec Baldwin. I get it. It's news. People make jokes.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-joke, Travis, but don't add him.
Yeah, he doesn't need to see it.
Don't say, hey, Alec Baldwin, fuck you. Don't do that. And if this lady sues Kellogg's, good. Who cares? Charles, what I'm saying is what we're doing is silly and we shouldn't do it.
It's all silly. It's all just a big pile of silliness, snarkiness. We should all be better people.
Nobody's opinion on any of this stuff matters. It's dumb. It's all dumb. We're all going to get together and we're going to talk about a lady suing Pop-Tarts for not having strawberry flavoring. We're going to say, oh, we didn't know strawberry had stuff in it. And, yeah, that's dumb. We shouldn't do that. So let's go to break.
I'm running away from you, Michael Myers. I hope I don't trip. Oh, I tripped. It's so dark here. Hopefully the footsteps running through leaves and sticks convey what is happening effectively. There's an old weird house. I'm going to hide in it. I hope that door sound wasn't too generic. I can hide in this closet and try not to breathe so you don't hear me. Sneaking is so much more difficult in this medium. If only this bloodthirsty maniac had accosted me on YouTube. Oh no, you're standing right outside the closet I'm hiding in. I hope you don't look in here.
Smarter than a food label. The game show that tests the food label knowledge of ordinary, everyday, average people. I'm your host, Label Man. The FDA's graphic representation of the nutrition facts label. Oh, really?
WFOP!
No, my reputation will not be tarnished at an early age if I'm labeled a negligent paper boat owner.
Hiya, Georgie! Do you want to start a podcast?
No!
Come on, Georgie! Don't you want to review movies? We all review movies down here.
My parents told me I'm not supposed to talk to strangers.
It's different when you're talking to a lot of strangers, though.
Where's the rest of them?
All over the world, Georgie! Don't you want to be a spokesman for Sherry's Berries? We can monetize, Georgie!
I gotta go.
Wait. I'll let you play with the reverb. Listen to all this reverb.
That's self-indulgent. Nobody cares that you know how to work your audio effects.
Do you want your boat back, Georgie?
Yeah, I guess so.
Come on.
The world has never seen anything like this. Once again, WFOD.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight served as the director for social science with the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition at the Food and Drug Administration for 27 years. He's an economist, risk analyst, and now has a book out called Fixing Food, an FDA Insider Unravels the Myths and Solutions. Dr. Richard A. Williams is on the program. Dr. Williams, how are you doing tonight? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. It's a big day with the book coming out today, so I'm enjoying it.
The book came out today.
We
appreciate you spending some time with us. I've been reading it, and I'll tell you, I went into it thinking, well, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. I'm not going to enjoy this. It's going to be, you know, it's a doctor writing it. It's about the FDA, but. I'm enjoying the hell out of this book. It's funny. It's interesting. So I would say to any laymans who listen to us not to be intimidated by the subject matter because it's great. It's scary, but it's funny too.
Well, I tell you, that's exactly what I was shooting for. You know, I spent my career trying to write these academic articles, and on average, I think every academic article, I think 8 people read them, and maybe 1 reads them, you know, in depth. So I took some time off and tried to learn how people write, but people might want to read what you write. And so that's what I was going for. And hopefully it worked. It sounds like for you, at least it did. So I appreciate that.
I guess I didn't really think, Travis, I was hoping, I guess, that the FDA was run by a whole bunch of, like, really smart doctor type folks. who had good ideas and were implementing them and stuff, but it kind of sounds like it's not really the case. It kind of sounds like everybody's just kind of wanting to keep their budgets intact and not really do a whole lot. Is that accurate?
So the government runs it. Is that correct?
that is correct. And you know, that's exactly the view that most people have. This is a bunch of very serious white-coated scientists, and they're making decisions just about the public interest. And you know, when I went into FDA, that's why I was so excited to go there. I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to work for one of the neatest agencies in the world. They're doing really important work. And it didn't take very long for me to become disillusioned and know that whole image that people have of FDA really isn't quite accurate.
Well, and I think you said in the very first chapter that your first week there, they pretty much told you, hey, lie or be fired.
That's exactly what happened. It was a deputy center director, and he told me I had written an analysis of a new regulation that would have possibly banned hair dye, the men's hair dye that got the gray out. And it looked to me like there wasn't much risk at all, but it was costly because there were no substitutes. And so I wrote that and turned it in, and then somebody came by and said, hey, you've been ordered to write another analysis that says the benefits exceed the cost, that it really is bad for you and compared to the cost. And I said, I'm not going to do that. You know, I was almost a PhD at that point. And so when I actually ran into the guy in one of the introductory meetings, he said, I'm the one that told you to do that. And that's when I said something almost unbelievably stupid, but it's because I was young and, you know, full of beans. I said, well, I'm not an economic prostitute. He goes, then you're fired.
they essentially told you, hey,
I thought I was.
Hey, this thing that you did, argue against you and tell us the exact opposite of what you said, and then we'll just decide which one to use.
That was exactly it. And so I say this stupid thing to him. He says, you're fired. And I thought, you know, for weeks, nobody would like even talk to me. If I walked down the hall, they dart into another room. I thought, oh God, I guess I am fired, but nobody ever came. And then I found out later that, this was what he did. He just tried to bluff people and, it worked on me. I really thought I was done, but you know, it wasn't the first time it happened. I mean, it wasn't the last time it happened.
So
it
Richard
happened to me after that.
Did you, by the time your tenure was over with the FDA, did you just learn to start writing your analysis like a choose your own adventure, where they can like, okay, we get to a certain point and then you can decide which fork you want to take in the road and then you can publish that?
But I mean, it did happen to me one more time. I'd been there a while longer and I was told to change an analysis this is on a Friday evening, or don't come back to work on Monday. And by that time, you know, I was married, I had a child and I had a mortgage. And I went away for the weekend. I said, all right, yeah, I'm going to change this one, but I'm never going to let this happen to me again. And so at that point, I resolved to do something I had up to then never done. I said, I'm going to be the best bureaucrat I can possibly be, and I'm never going to let this happen to me again. So that's what I did. And then at the very end of my career, office directors came to me and she said, you know, Richard, everyone in this whole center, if not the whole agency, is afraid of you. And I said, what? She said, yeah, you always say exactly what you think, and that scares people.
What a scary world that we live in if it makes people afraid that you're speaking your mind.
Well, and I thought, oh my God, I really have become a good bureaucrat, and I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing.
Isn't it scarier to think that you're in an office filled with liars, though? Like, if they're saying that you're the scary one for telling the truth.
It's political, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you have a sophisticated audience and they understand that politics is about spinning. And that's, you know what? This is an executive branch agency and they spin just like every other political organization.
But what fascinated me is, and I might have gotten this wrong because, like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But the failures kind of justify your existence. Like at the end of the year where you're doing the budget for the next year and you're like, okay, half the country's obese, it's a good thing that we have an FDA with a big budget. Okay, fix it. But then the next year, we do it again, where we say, okay, well, it's a good thing we have an FDA with a big budget.
No, it's exactly right. Congress has a very short memory. And so every year you go in, you say, hey, you know what? One out of six Americans are getting food poisoning every year. You're going to have to increase our budget. And, you know, they didn't keep it the same or they'd increase it. And I was always thinking, why don't you ask and look back to what we said last year and the year before that? And, you know, in the past decade, we always say the same thing. And they're like, oh, my God, this is terrible. We have to give you an increased budget. And in the obesity front, it's just getting terrible. So we've been gaining weight in this country since pretty much 1980. Right now, we're at 42% of the population is obese. By 2050, a Harvard analysis estimates that half of us, one out of every two people, will be obese, which means more chronic disease like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. We've already seen childhood diabetes increase dramatically. These are really, really terrible things. The reason I wrote this book is because FDA has to change. They have to start doing things differently because this is actually absolutely a crisis.
There's other things that I've seen in the past where they've kind of padded it out, and then their ultimate evil essentially at the end of it was sugar. Would you agree with that? Is that sugar is the thing that is driving obesity?
Honestly, I wish I knew, because the problem is that nutrition science is so terrible. It is true. A couple hundred years ago, Americans consumed on average about 2 to 3 pounds of sugar per year. Right now, the average, all right, which means that people that consume a lot more, is 153 pounds per year. That's a lot of sugar. And part of that is because in around 1990, when we put food labeling in, we were concerned that the whole problem with food was total fat. People are consuming too much fat. Well, now we know that there's good fats and bad fats. But because we said that, manufacturers responded and they took a lot of the fat out. But unfortunately, a lot of carbohydrates went in, including and particularly sugar.
That is what I've always noticed, too, is like anything that, you know, when my wife tries to bring like a reduced fat or a no fat or a low fat thing, it's like you can't purchase those things because they're tripling their sugar content to make up for the fact that none of the fat is giving the thing flavor.
Right. So, you know, we're really changing course slowly in nutrition. But one of the things we're finding out is, you know, there are all these diets. They're either coming from the federal government, FDA has theirs, USDA and the dietary guidelines have theirs. And then we have Hollywood people and doctors and everybody having, oh, here's the perfect diet for you. Well, it turns out what's likely is none of those are the perfect diet for everyone. There's a diet for each individual or maybe groups of individuals, and it's based on your particular genetics, your microbiome, that is the microbes in your body, your health status, whether you're sick or well, how much you exercise, whether you smoke, how much sleep you get, how much stress you get, and so on. You put all those things together, and there's a diet that's just right for you. Now, the fun thing is that there are innovators all over the world that realize that, and they're creating new devices, kind of like your Fitbit, that are going to help you select a diet that's just right for you as an individual. That's one of the things that has me really excited.
Compatible foods, right? Like things that you should be eating, things that don't fit with your physiology. Do you believe that those work fairly well, those home tests where you send it in and it says, oh, you should stay away from this, 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 and this, and you should intake more of this, this, and the other thing?
I think about the very first computers. They're like the very first computers. They're brand new. Some of them are very limited. Like to say, they just consider genetics. Genetics are actually, turns out, a very small part of it. Your microbiome is much more important. So if they're new, they're coming out, I think they're going to be great. I think right now there's a lot of work to be done, but it's being done all over the world. So we've got innovators all over the world competing, and as long as nobody slows them down, I think it's going to be great in the future. Right now, I wouldn't necessarily put my money in any of them, but I talked recently to a guy in Australia who's doing one, and he has a little patch that goes on your arm. And it monitors your sweat. And I thought, well, what's sweat? That's just water. He goes, no. There are all these biomarkers in sweat that will determine your responses to individual foods, and it will monitor it in real time. That's the kind of thing that I think is just fantastic. And it's a heck of a lot better than trying to decipher a food label.
And the problem, though, I guess, with Americans in general is we're really stubborn. So if we take a test and all of a sudden a test comes back and tells me, oh, you can't eat pasta, tacos, or pizza anymore, I'm going to tell that test to go kick rocks, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's one of the things, and I've talked to some of these people about that. I said, you can't do that. You cannot tell people to go, not to eat something they like, and particularly to eat something they don't like. So part of it has, and they, the people I've talked to agree with me, particularly like the PREDICT program, say, no. We've got to look for things that people like to eat that is also healthy for them. So that's one of the really good things I think that's going to come out of this.
Maybe they'll be more attuned to try it if a robot tells them to do it. I mean, like my robot told me, not, or my doctor told me not to eat anything, white. He said no sugar, no pasta, no bread. But if a robot told me, maybe I'd be more likely to listen to him.
Well, perhaps.
Richard, I have a couple of random questions for you. You had a chapter about how people were arguing about almond milk and if they should be allowed to call it milk because it's not really milk. Did they have suggestions for what else to call it? Like, were they shooting around anything else that you could call almond milk besides milk?
Well, we opened up talking about, was FDA really serious? Science agency, and this is one of the huge problems. They've been talking about this for 2 years, over 2 years. So instead, given that people are getting sick, from food poisoning, like I say, one out of six every year, we have obesity crisis, which is leading to chronic disease. They're sitting there wondering, gosh, will people be confused if you call almond milk? And this is just one of the things. They're also concerned about the impossible burger. Should it be allowed to be called burger? And all these new proteins. And this is a gigantic waste of time. And they're doing it at the behest of manufacturers who are making products that, are being competed with. And it's just crazy stuff. These are called food standards. And the original legislation requiring them went back to 1938. And it's time we stopped doing that. And now, if you just like one more story about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So there was a Massachusetts bakery that was making granola bars, and they decided to get cute. They would put love as an ingredient in on their package. Well, apparently FDA tested them and found out they couldn't find the love ingredient, and they sent them a strongly worded cease and desist letter.
Well, I mean,
this is how they're wasting a lot of time.
That sounds exactly like our government that I've experienced over the past 41 years.
I'll tell you, though, I kind of agree with that one. Don't be getting cute with the ingredients. Okay. Where does it stop?
Well, I suppose, yes, you can make a case for that. There really was no love in the ingredients.
Do you think, Mike, maybe for the spooky season for Halloween month, we could make like brownies baked with fear?
There you go.
There you go.
are cans gross? This is something that I've been like when you go to a gas station, okay, and like you get like a Monster Energy drink out of the thing, and it's in a can. You're putting your mouth on that. That's gross, right? Or is that?
I guess depending upon where the can has been, yeah. But look, one of the things that's really changing is we used to think that all microbes were dangerous. We now understand that there are trillions of microbes in and on your body, and that many, if not more, most of them are helpful. So the idea that we have to kill all microbes is a bad idea. That's changing everything completely. So we used to think, oh my God, if you see a little kid and he's playing in the dirt and he puts his hands in his mouth, oh gosh, we should do something about that. And it turns out that's probably a good thing because they're populating their microbiome. So things are changing. I'm not so certain just one can is going to be bad, but it depends, like I say, on what kind of microbe is on it.
I guess if you go lick a six pack, then you might be getting into trouble.
Maybe just don't make it a habit to lick the six packs, Mike.
Probably not.
Mike, would you like to run past a previous topic that we've had on this program for Richard, the people meat?
Oh, what would it see now? How can we even see? He didn't do anything with meat. Meat's a different thing, right, Richard? You don't mess with meat, really.
So just so you know, yeah, that FDA regulates everything except meat and poultry.
Right.
Right.
So there was,
I didn't cover that too much. Mostly I focused on FDA.
There's a website, I think, is it bitelabs.org, I think, Travis? Is that the name of the website?
I believe so. I believe so.
And they are proposing that celebrities can donate like a tissue sample that they can then clone and sell celebrity sausages. And obviously this is disturbing for a lot of ways.
Wait, you mean are the tissues from the celebrities?
Yeah, they clone it to make celebrity sausages. So, like, they're not actually cutting off Kanye West's arm, but they take a tissue sample and then clone it. Is that can't fly, right? They can't do that. I don't think it's real. Like, I think it's a parody.
Cannibalism to me.
but is it cannibalism? Because you're not really eating the celebrity. Question. Yeah.
There are food ethicists that I'm sure will deal with that in a much better way than I possibly can.
Guys, the book is called Fixing Food, an FDA Insider Unravels the Myths and the Solutions. Richard, do you have a solution? What can we do to clean this whole mess up?
The way I ended it, and this is really the sort of at the end of my career I discovered, is that there's so many new technologies coming out there. I think the new proteins will create safer foods and more nutritious foods. We have things like new food packaging, which will alert you if the food is going bad. All sorts of things like that.
Are you talking about like those Coors Light cans that change color when they're cold? Is that what you mean?
No. This is stuff with nanotechnology, and that actually will basically sort of, in a sense, light up, and it'll change and say, hey, you know what? This food is spoiled. You should throw it out. That's a lot better than a sell-by, use-by date. But there's so many things like that coming out. 3D printers, where you'll be able to print your food like a, you know, Star Trek movie kind of thing.
That sounds like what Bitelabs is going to use.
Safer food and more nutritious food. And particularly these new consumer nutrition devices, which will tell you, based on your personal characteristics, what you ought to eat. To me, that's like a fantastic achievement in human health. And I'm so looking forward to these things.
So it sounds like ultimately you're optimistic about the future. Like
I'm very optimistic. The only pessimistic part of me is I worry that the federal government, and particularly agencies like the FDA, will try to slow these innovations down to the point where they stop them, and by either charging them too much money to pre-approve them or slow them down, and so they can't get onto the market. What I'd like to see is a kind of technological innovation that we've seen in, say, computers and smartwatches and things like that go very quickly and start to solve these problems before our health goes completely south.
Guys, RichardAWilliams.com is Richard's website. I'm sure you have links to the book there and stuff. Should I send people to Amazon? Is that where the best place to send people would be?
Amazon's a great way to go, but RichardAWilliams.com. It can be your local bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you want to buy it. But hopefully people enjoy it. There's a lot of just good stories, some funny, some maybe a little scary in it, and I think hopefully people enjoy reading the book.
Richard, we appreciate you spending some time with us, man. It was fun. We should do it when the next book comes out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Congratulations on the book release.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Good night.
Good night. Travis. Richard. Richard's a good time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, we only spent a little bit of time with him, and I know you've read the book, but it's not surprising to me hearing the stories from him talking about how the government is pretty much stalling its own progress, right? Like, and him talking about at the end, his optimism about these new devices and things and about worrying about how the government stalls them out. It's like, I guess the biggest battle there would ultimately be, how many people are lobbying the government to shut these devices down because they know that these devices are going to tell people not to eat their particular food, right? Like, so, yeah, I mean, shit. Yeah, it's interesting to talk to somebody who is on the inside of something like this.
Yeah, he has a whole chat. It's really interesting. If you take humor in ridiculousness, I mean, like there's a, like his boss came in and was all pissed off because he saw girls in the neighborhood doing a lemonade stand. And he was like, we should shut those damn people down. And it's like, dude, you run the FDA.
Like, why are you worried about these little girls selling some sugar like water?
He drove by some little girls on the way to work and just got pissed about it.
I think one of my favorite things that you screenshotted for me and sent to me was talking about raw ingredients and in particular, like raw apple juice, and talking about, because it's not regulated, it's not processed correctly, is that you're essentially drinking deer poop juice.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of references to poop getting in stuff. Just a whole lot of poop. It's bad. From what he said, like, you know, and I might be paraphrasing here, so don't quote me on this, but it was like, hey, man, all that organic stuff that you buy, it's probably got poop on it, you know, because they put pesticide on stuff, and the pesticides don't hurt us. The pesticides are fine, and they keep poop off stuff, and poop can hurt you.
Keeping poop off food, I feel, is probably my number one priority, you know, like.
You go in there day one, Travis, and you say, look, my issue is poop. Any of this other stuff, don't care. You bring poop
this
to me.
This is all ancillary.
And I'm doing away with it. I don't want to eat or drink poop. And that's why I'm here. That's why I went to school. That's why I applied. I'm anti-poop.
Yeah, you guys better get all on the non-poop train, because that's where this is. That's what we're riding here today. No poop.
And if strawberry Pop-Tarts have pears in them, I mean, sure, we got bigger problems. But, you know, maybe just put that in little writing. You know, hey, it's got some pears in it. What did he say about, like, how they solved the problem by just making something on the label bold? Nobody looks at those labels ever. Have you ever looked at one of those labels? I haven't.
I do look at them, and I disregard them almost immediately.
Well, like, but you do look at them and then say, eh.
Yeah, essentially. The only thing that actually will turn me off, and I guess I haven't really consumed them in a lot of years besides alcohol, is I don't drink a lot of beverages with, like, chock full of sugar, you know, like, because you'll be amazed if you have a sugary beverage that you enjoy pretty frequently, just take a gander at how much sugar is in that. And then maybe just back off a little bit, depending on, because there is so much sugar in so much of the things that you drink without even realizing it. Maybe just back off. I know there's sugar in everything. But damn, do you really need to add to it by sucking it down? You know, it's like a 5 minutes, you got a 240 grams of sugar sucked down your gullet. Yeah, I don't subscribe to that so much. But yeah, I glance at them, but pretty much disregard them. I like something, I guess I like it.
Travis, the chat is worried about Dino Nuggies. They're saying, oh no, they're not going to take away our Dino Nuggies, are they?
My kids love those. They're terrible.
It's probably not even real chicken, right?
I think it's like
chicken.
How do they phrase that? Like chicken with added water soluble whatnot.
It's probably mostly cardboard.
Probably bones and cartilage.
Yeah,
it's like a hot dog.
Grind it up.
Bunch of shit ground up and breaded.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Mike, would you say you had a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
God damn it, Travis. Do I have a pick of the week? I am stalling to think of something because I didn't write one down. Yeah. You know what I watched the other day? It'll probably be outdated by the time people hear this, but I'll tell you about it anyway, Travis. I don't even know what channel it's on. I got it on demand somewhere. It's called Outrageous Pumpkins.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reality competition hosted by Allison Hannigan.
It's like on Discovery or something like that. She does that every year, that pumpkin show.
Has that been around?
It comes around every. I know it was around last year or maybe the year before, but I don't know if it's an annual thing, but I know she's done that show at least one time previous.
It's on Hulu, but it's also on the Food Network, Travis.
Ah, Food Network. Yeah, I knew it was one of those. The Food Network, the Discovery family of channels. I knew it was on there.
And what they do is they compete making jack-o'-lanterns. And that's fun.
You bet.
It's fun to watch. I'll tell you what, those people, they're getting really good at those jack-o'-lanterns. And it's fun to see their art.
There are these things like that, you know, people spend a lot of time on or really take it seriously as a hobby. I mean, this is like the Lego masters, you know, it's like people who get real nuts with Legos. It's like everything's got their diehards. And when you see the diehards do their best, it's entertaining.
Right. Even though if you really think about it, that pumpkin's probably going to wither up and be shit in like a couple weeks. And then you did all that work for nothing. I guess you got pictures.
You
got
to give it a good spray. You got to give it a good spray, like a lacquer or something.
Can you preserve it?
I feel like you probably can. Use with some kind of sealant. I mean, it's not going to last forever, but I feel like if you carve that son of a bitch and seal the exposed edges and the outside, I feel like it'll probably last a little bit longer.
You mummify it? Is that what you do?
It's like a House of Wax. You ever see that movie House of Wax where they take the dead bodies and they dip them in wax and then, you know, even however long later you cut into that wax and it's like preserved. It's like their little eyeballs peek out. They're like,
I'll be damned.
Eyeball's still in here.
Travis, pick of the week?
Travis, pick of the week, I guess, just to go with the spooky month theme, is the Chucky series on the Sci-Fi Channel. Third episode premieres tonight. I'm excited to watch it. It's fun. They get into the nonsense right away. You don't have to wait an entire episode before Chucky does his Chucky thing.
Oh, they don't do like an origin tale?
No, it's like you know who Chucky is.
Yeah, he's now a doll Chucky's that comes to here. Life and kills people.
Right. Yeah. Are you familiar with Chucky? Yeah. Well, now he's here and he's going to start killing people. He's That's pretty much the setup.
His Chucky thing.
Yeah. You know, he likes knives and then he likes to cackle while he's killing people. And then he likes to lie about it and stuff like that's it's, you know, Chucky.
He say, I didn't kill those people.
He did. I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that?
I'm a good guy.
Your friend of the end.
They need to do a crossover into the Chucky verse, Travis, with the Mark Hamill Chucky.
I like the Mark Hamill Chucky. I'd like to see another one of those.
You think they're going to make more?
Nope.
No, probably not. They got that kizash and now they're going to run away.
Yep. They're like, peace. We made this one movie. We tricked you into watching it. We actually made a good movie. I was very surprised that I enjoyed it, took it a different way. And now they're making the Chucky TV show. So like, oh, that Chucky's dead to us.
Travis, another spooky month's in the books. We did it.
Let me close it out with a poem that I found on the World Wide Web called Halloween. We mask our faces and wear strange hats and moan like witches and screech like cats and jump like goblins and thump like elves and almost manage to scare ourselves.
It's really good, Travis.
Happy Halloween, y'all.
Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you next time.
It's like looking in a mirror.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, share it with a friend. Hey, consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us at twitch.tv/WFODshow or youtube.com/user/WFODix. Should figure out a way to make that better. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263 or email travis@wfodix.com with comments, questions, guest suggestions, or whatever. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Val, Brian, and Liquid. Also, a special thank you to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Visit WFOD Show for more. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
You know what? It's all about the joy, though. It's all about the little things that create your joy. So, you know, if singing a Michael Myers song about him eating all your yogurt creates you joy,
you sing that song. You're right, though. It is a lot like masturbating because, like, you know, immediately you feel shame.
Yeah, like as soon as it's over. It's
you're like,
oh, why'd I do that?
Oh.
Like, even worse if you get caught.
Immediately you feel it. You're like, oh, hey, you're a disgusting piece of shit.
I'm disgusting.
You're gross.
I'm so disgusting. Grown ass man doing this.
You didn't know it's over.
Well.